This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 255. Whew. Of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. I had to think about it for a second, but then I realized I didn't have to think
about it. Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you didn't get stumped too hard on that one.
No. Took me a moment, but then I was like, oh, wait. That's my line.
There you go.
So, Mikkel, how's it going?
I'm pretty good, and you?
Oh, you know, can't complain. Well, I mean, I can, but nobody'd listen.
Yep. Yeah. Zing. Yep.
That's about that.
Yeah, I hear you.
I hope so. Otherwise, we got a bad connection.
You are just full of them tonight. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Someone on Twitter I follow the other day was posting the worst dad jokes.
Yeah.
Just the worst.
Are there good dad jokes? I mean, I think by definition, dad jokes are bad.
That's true. That's true.
My D&D game this week, we actually had to, like, we met this entity that wanted to trade with us, and it was dad jokes. Like, he gave us a dad joke, and he wanted a dad joke from us before he'd let us pass. It was rather refreshing in the middle of a dungeon, and pretty hilarious.
Nice.
You know, usually with D&D, you think that they want, like, blood, or they want a magic item, or they want gold. No, this guy wanted to swap dad jokes with us.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, really.
Nope, not at all. So, did you watch some stuff and things this week?
I watched a lot of stuff and things.
See, I don't feel like I watched that much stuff and things, but I know that I watched some stuff and things.
I watched way more movies than I thought I was gonna watch, or like I didn't sit down and plan on I'm gonna watch all these movies this week. It was more like I'm gonna watch this movie tonight, and then I'm gonna watch this movie tonight type of thing, and then I'm gonna watch this movie over three nights, and yeah, so I watched 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 films.
Wow. That's a lot
I didn't
of
even,
film.
I didn't even plan on watching that many films. But I didn't watch
one was really, film.
There's really no other TV shows on, though, this week.
Yeah.
Very, very low.
I watched one film, and I watched one extended episode of a TV show that was billed as, like, a film. So.
Well, let's start out with, let's see, we didn't have a This Is Us to watch.
Correct.
There was no Zoe's Playlist.
Correct.
No The Rookie.
Correct.
No The Unicorn.
Right. And we had that little discussion this morning because I was confused about that.
The Connors were not on. We're all done Lovecraft Country. We're all done WandaVision. So, I mean, like, there wasn't many shows to really watch.
I picked up a new show this week, and another show kind of came back, and I started watching that I'll touch upon briefly.
Alrighty. Well, so let's just start out with New Amsterdam. It was okay.
Yeah.
The formula is becoming too
formulaic.
Well, yes, it's just becoming not like predictable is not even the word, but just too like, yeah, formulaic. This is what's always going to happen, and it's almost like it's taking away from my enjoyment.
Yep.
I mean, I have been in this funk lately where I just can't get into anything. So it's almost like, you know, we go through phases where we like TV better than movies, then we like TV better than, and then movies better than TV. And it's almost like where I like movies better than TV because there's less of a commitment.
Yes. Yeah. Cause it's just like a one and done kind of thing.
Yeah. Yep. So I just wasn't a huge fan of New Amsterdam. They brought back the heart surgeon had left for like California last season or the season before, and then to help
Dr. Reynolds.
Yeah, they brought him back to do the heart surgery on
VJ.
Not VJ. I just want to say Benji for some reason, but it's not. At the same time, his son's baby mama went into labor.
Yep. So
that was probably my favorite
gearing
part of the episode. Yes.
Yeah. We're basically gearing up thinking this is going to be one of those he dies as the child is born kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course there's complications and they tried this one thing and it doesn't work. And then his heart doesn't have enough muscle to suture into it and on and on and on. But in the end, yeah, he's alive.
Yeah.
He's in rough shape, but he's alive.
Yep.
After
seeing the spiritual version of his wife.
Yes, who says you need to go back for our granddaughter type of thing.
Yep.
What's his name? Tucker? Tucker and Dale is evil. Iggy. He has an eating disorder he has to come to a head with and realize that he's binging and purging and starving himself. And he's takes a while to realize that he actually has a problem.
And of course, the drug addict is the one who's like, "Oh, you need to get help for addiction." He's like, "Go fuck yourself. You're a drug addict. Yeah. You almost killed someone."
Yeah.
The opioid crisis mini story there, I didn't like just neither because Max, like, who's normally good at coming up with solutions, was really faltering over and over again.
Oh, my God. How dumb is he to hire bike messengers to deliver products? Hi.
Like, the first part where he had that Zoom call with all of them and he kind of fumbled it, you know, because he's like, "Oh, no judgment, but you're going to have to come in and we're going to have to grade you and blah, blah, blah." And everybody dropped off. I was like, "Oh, you could have handled that a lot better, dude. You weren't thinking straight." But then when I saw the bike messengers, I'm like, "Oh, this is farcical. Like, this is Michael Scott in The Office level stupidity. Like, there is no way he would do something like that. Hey, all you random bike messengers, I'm going to give you illegal substances, controlled drugs, and ask you to be on your best behavior and deliver them to people around the city
with a 25%
disappear
chip."
yeah
that was dumb.
Yeah
that was so exceptionally dumb.
It was again, it was not a phenomenal episode. I still enjoy the show. The episode before this that really hit me, that was great. This one was it was a typical New Amsterdam. It didn't really like do anything for me.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know if it's going to do enough to make me want to keep watching it, quite frankly, because that's kind of where I'm at.
You're kind of there.
Not entertaining. I really am. Like I just said, like
every
really
week you add more and more to your list
of not want to watch.
Yeah, or like threatening to not want to watch. You're like, I don't know if I can stick with this.
Well, Superman and Lois. Yeah. Rebounded for me this week.
Really?
Not like, "Oh my God, it's so tremendous," but there was less teenage drama. There was still some, but there was tremendously less of it. So, and we didn't get Captain Luthor being like, "The Superman on my planet was evil, so this Superman must be evil."
Yeah, we didn't have
or will be eventually. Yeah, no, we didn't have that. We got the muscle guy. We got who appears to be another Kryptonian there.
Well, appeared.
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming Kryptonian and not just some sort of powered being.
Oh, no, I meant appeared as in like he was dead by the end of the episode.
Oh, no. Well, yeah. I'm not referring to him as the Kryptonian. I'm referring to the girl that killed him as the Kryptonian.
Yes.
With her laser vision, heat vision, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, Lois and Supreme was a little bit better for me this week. I didn't think it was amazing, but
I didn't hate it. I gave it more grief when you said that, but there was still some teen drama, especially when things seem to be going okay, and you know, they're having the happy family painting montage in the beginning.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Jordan is getting picked on, and Clark shows up and, hey kids, how's it going, you know, to kind of break things up. He didn't show up as Superman to defend him, which would have been totally embarrassing, but this was just like, hey, how's it going? Wow. And they're like, you never leave us alone, you're listening
in on us, spying on us.
Yeah,
yes, I am, sons. Yes, I am.
But I did like the juxtaposition there where he was talking to Lois and he's like, I remember the first time I listened in on you, and she's like, yeah, you almost lost me, like, that is not cool. So
yeah, I did appreciate that as well.
So yeah, that it was a good episode.
Unlike Flash.
Tell me that they didn't telegraph that throughout the entire episode. Like, oh, he's going to have super thinking, which means he's going to be super emotionless, because that's what smart people are. Smart people have no emotions.
Yep. Yeah, that's the stereotypical. Yeah, Flash was great enough this week that I'm just not going to bother to watch it again. I'd given up on it by the end of last season.
Yeah.
And it was a struggle, and I decided, well, all right, let's watch it again this season, and I'm going to give it a go this season, and no, I can't even do that.
It was bad. Like, finally got Caitlin and Cisco back, but even they seemed like they didn't really want to be there. Like, Danielle Panabaker, every episode, every scene that she was in seemed very stiff and like annoyed that she had to be on camera.
Yep.
And Carlos, again, seemed like, you know, I know the whole thing was supposed to be, oh, Cisco's feeling put out because he's supposed to be the smart one and now Barry's smarter than him. But then, you know, he was also pissy because Barry was no longer emotional and he could see that that was a bad thing. And, you know, then they start getting into the whole, like, are we actually watching what's really happening, or is this just all a flash forward in Barry's head because he can think so fast? And then he rescues Iris and pulls her out of there, even though she's trying to fight to stay in there so that she can rescue Singh and what's her name. And yeah.
Shrug shoulders. That's me.
Yeah. Like, I want to care about it, but I don't. The only thing that kept me intrigued was the very end PS scene when it said a long time ago, and we got to see the death of the original Harrison Wells when Thawne came back in season one.
Yes.
And that intrigued me, except that then they did an interview with Grant Gustin and he spilled the beans on the whole thing. He goes, oh yeah, this is going to be Wells, but it's like a conglomeration of the particles that made up all the other Wells. So this is not who you think it's going to be, and it's not what you're going to think it's going to be. So he's very much like a different kind of Wells. I'm like, well, there we go. Okay. So
it's Wells, but it's not Wells.
Yeah. So it's a way to bring Tom Cavanaugh back on the screen. That's great. But, you know, I was hoping that this was going to be Thawne coming back as well, but who knows? Like, the reason that I liked this show in the beginning was because it was like a different villain every week, and he had a rogues gallery and there was lots of different people. And now they've gone the Arrow route where it's like one villain, and we've even got the same villain from last season. Like,
right.
I don't know. It's just, it's annoying. Like, give us a mix, give us some new stuff to be doing. Oh, and holy crap, was I pissed off when Caitlin took the Velocity X so that, you know, she could match him, just because the writers are probably like, oh, it's two episodes in and we haven't had a really good speedster chase through the city yet. Well, there's no other speedsters. Well, we got to have a speedster chase through the city. That's where we do most of our graphics budget. Yeah. I know. Let's give Caitlin some Velocity X so that she can have blue lightning and race through the city and they can have like a speedster battle. Fuck it. Put it in. Really? Laziest fucking plot.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that either.
Oh, there was so much to hate this week.
Yeah, which is why I'm probably not going to watch it anymore.
Yep. I'm going to watch for the Wells thing and see how they do that. I'm giving it another episode. If they don't do something good with it, though, I'm done. I'll watch Legends of Tomorrow when it comes back, and I'll stick with Lois and Superman for now. But
yeah, I'm going to stick with Lois and Superman. I'm going to watch Legends of Tomorrow, and then, you know, we got Falcon and the Winter Soldier this Friday.
Thank God.
So. Oh, and I just want to bring this out there. I don't know how extended they are, but on the CW app, which is how I watch Lois and Superman, the last 2 weeks have been what they call extended episodes.
Oh.
I don't know how much more extended they are than TV, but they're calling them extended episodes.
Like half a Cialis extended?
Yeah, I don't know how many minutes.
Yeah, well, half a no. anyway, I will say I watched two more episodes of Fast Foodies. I enjoy it. 20 minutes, you know, yep. Watching them interact with the hosts. Taco Bell, the Crunchwrap Supreme, was fun to watch. And then this most recent one was Ron Funches, who's a fucking delight anyway. And he was doing the Wendy's Spicy Chicken Sandwich. Like, that was
his nice. Go-to. I watched the documentary. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it was really funny because, like, the first round, they're supposed to replicate the sandwich as best they can. And then the second round is when they put their own creative spin on whatever. Okay. So the one who won the first round, like, he tasted the first one. He's like, wow, this is good. This is, like, better than Wendy's. He's like, this is delicious. She's like, oh, thanks. And then the next one, he's like, oh, my God, this is fucking amazing. This is, like, the greatest thing. This is, like, all the flavors elevated. He's like, this is what I want the sandwich to be. And he's like, all right. And then the third one, he's like, wow, you have really captured the Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich, because this tastes like I left it in my car for 3 days and then took a bite out of it and it still tasted good. He's like, so you guys made far superior things, but as far as replicating the Wendy's spicy chicken sandwich, I got to go with this dry one over here. And the guy kept saying, it's not dry. And he's like, oh, that was dry. That was a dry sandwich, and that's what I wanted.
It was Ron Funches, right?
Yes.
Because I can hear his voice saying all of that, and it makes perfect. Yeah. That's awesome.
So you were saying you watched a documentary.
Yeah, if to anyone that has Peacock, after this Thursday when WWE Network is now through Peacock, you can actually watch this as well. But they have a documentary called Heaven, and it's only 22 minutes long, and it's about a girl in North Carolina, huh?
That is, like, the shortest documentary I've ever heard of.
Well, yeah, it's just a quick 22-minute documentary. It's like an episode of TV, if you will. But anyways, it's about this girl in North Carolina. Her name is Heaven, and she is the first girl in North Carolina history to win a state championship for wrestling on the boys' level, if you will.
Oh, okay.
There's a wrestling team, so she wrestles on the boys' wrestling team. And she's been wrestling since she was a little kid because her older brothers wrestled, and she would watch them. And then when she was like 5, she got an amateur wrestling. And she's now this year, 2021, she's a senior in high school. But she's been wrestling since she was like 5, all through middle school and now through high school and everything. And she's the first girl to win in North Carolina to win a state championship for wrestling.
Nice.
On the team, and she's like the fourth or fifth girl in the country to do it.
Okay.
But she's very, very good. I mean, she's very, very good. It was just a really good documentary.
So it's not a gimmick with guys like, oh, she's a girl, let her go. She's legitimate.
No. It's guys not wanting to wrestle her because she's a girl. Because they're prefacing it with, well, I don't want to hurt her because she's a girl. But in reality, what she thinks, and she says it as much, is like, they don't want to lose to me. She's seen, you know, guys cry after losing
her. I was going to say, like, that's going to be quite a blow to their sensitive egos.
Yeah, you would think. But then you have, like, her brother, who they wrestle all the time with each other. and spar with each other, if you will. And he doesn't care. Like, she gets the best of him all the time, and he does not care because he gets the best of her sometimes. And granted, it's her brother, so that's probably he's used to it more. And I get it. I get the stigma of you know, guys not wanting to quote unquote lose to a girl. That's the mentality that. And like they said on the show, on the documentary, like the kids, sometimes the kids take it fine. They don't care. They wrestled their best match and they lost. Oh, well, it's the parents or the dad that has a big problem with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, when she goes 54-4, she's very good.
Yeah.
But no, it was just it was really good. It was enjoyable. I kind of wasn't expecting much, but I threw it on and they did an amazing job with it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And it's short, so it doesn't overstay its welcome.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
That's nice.
Like I said, no rookie, no the unicorn. Debris? Oh, wait. Debris. No. Superstore. Looking forward to Superstore being over. How about you?
Yeah.
Yeah. This was another...
Let's bring back a character who left.
Yeah, there's only a couple episodes left, thank goodness. But yeah, let's bring back the old district manager, Mateo's boyfriend. What was his name? Max? No, not Jeff. Max. Jeff, thank you. And Jeff, we need the customers to fill up better reviews and better ratings for us. Or else, you know, they might close our store. And I liked when he said, because, you know, all the bad stuff that keeps happening here, and they basically say every terrible thing that's happened over the last six seasons. And I like when Dean is like, well, you say it all together like that, it does sound bad.
Yeah. And they basically had to, like, separate people out, you know, the ones who were making the customers feel uncomfy, put them out back to special projects.
To do busy work, and Jonah gets put out there with him because in Jonah's way, he overdoes it.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice to the customers and ends up making an ass of himself. And then when he gets kicked out back with the rest, he basically then acts another Jonah way, like he's too good for them and shouldn't be back out there with them. Yep.
Yeah. Good time. It was very uncomfortable again. But I kind of felt like the whole, oh, Jonah's too much was almost like a metaphor for the show anyway.
Yes.
And then of course, you know, Jeff tries to say that he's got this new boyfriend and he's doing great and he's very happy. And Mateo's like, oh good. Well then in that case, I'll tell you that I'm getting married. I asked Eric to marry me. And he's like, I'm not doing good. I was making that all up. I had one date with the guy and he hasn't called me in 3 weeks. Meh. And collectively, none of us cared.
Yeah, no, none of us did care. None of us cared at all. And that's probably the best part. None of us cared at all.
Yeah. I'm ready for it to be over. It's had a good run.
Yeah, I am too. It has had a good run.
Except for this last couple of seasons. You know, it's been a little more awkward, but...
Yeah.
I think it's time.
But yeah, let's go back to Debris now.
Right off the bat, my very first note that I loved was previously on Debris. I'm like, yes.
Yep. I enjoyed
those words.
I really like this show. I mean, I like this show a lot. And of course, I've seen a lot of people online comparing it to The X-Files, because that's what they do. What was the other one? The one on Fox. All I could think of was Altered Carbon, but that's not it. You know what I'm talking about?
Fringe?
Yep. Fringe got compared to The X-Files a lot when it first started, and then it took a hard right turn that one season, and it was like, what's going on here? We're in the future, or alternate universe, or whatever. But no, in this episode, they go to Pennsylvania, because the debris seems to be floating in a circle around this town and building like some sort of barrier. And I just really dug it. I just really dug it.
The only issue that I had, and it was a minor quibble, but
yeah.
like they had some really good scenes of watching the things getting pulled there, you know, like the cars and the refrigerators and stuff like that. And it was very X-Files-ish. And I think that's more of a compliment than anything. I think that, you know, it's kind of like saying, ooh, this is like the Star Wars of such and such, or, you know, things like that. I think of it as a compliment because this does give off the best kind of X-Files vibes. But my minor quibble was one of the last scenes when more of the stuff was being pulled in. You've got like a four-way intersection and you're seeing a refrigerator and a car being pulled along and a water heater. But the street signs were just sitting there. They weren't being pulled.
No, I agree. I know what you're saying, but it was weird because they did make a comment earlier in the episode about how not everything was being pulled. Mm. It seemed selective, but they didn't know why it was selective. Like they did kind of acknowledge that by basically saying, hey, we don't know why it's pulling what it's pulling. Right. This is what it's pulling.
And can you imagine the chaos that they would have had to do if they had a set like that where they were like, okay, we're going to have to rip up your road signs, then we'll put them back.
Right. Right. Yes. Yes, exactly. You know, and at the end of the episode, you know, the CIA, Brian learns from the CIA and MI6 are planning on digging up George Jones's body, which is his partner, Fiona. That's her dad. Mm-hmm. So we learn more about Fiona, Finola, and her life, you know, with her dad and relationship. We learn about Brian.
He's got a bit of a tragedy there.
He's got some pretty struggling, pretty heart-wrenching backstory going on as well.
Yeah.
And he also has to shoot his own clone in this episode.
Yeah. That was really weird where he had to shoot himself. And then, we got that one scene that we just kept seeing, somebody falling from the floor above almost, you know, and hitting the floor and hitting the floor. And then it was, that weird mesh of him and the other guy, melted together.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, so good.
So, yeah, I'm really digging the show. I really would like to see these two people become not romantically involved, but become more real partners where one's not hiding secrets from the other one and that stuff, because it would be easier.
And I think partner is a good word there.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
You know, they're actually getting each other's backs and, hey, you know, they're digging up the place where your dad is buried because of this.
Yes. So I'm hoping to see that.
Fingers crossed.
Resident Alien.
Resident Alien.
So I do love this show.
Mm-hmm. I sense a butt.
No butts. Okay. You know, the last episode ended with Harry by his ship and basically we're going to move in. And then you see a vehicle pull in and then we cut to this episode and it's his wife.
Yep.
Who is mad because, you know, Harry's been drugging her so he could go look for his ship and his device. And so they kind of have a fight and she heads back to New York.
Because she found his drug stash and faked it. She knew that he was drugging her, so she faked it the last time so she could follow him.
Yes.
Clever girl.
So she apparently is going to head back to New York.
But he doesn't want her to at first because he misses the sex and the cooking.
Yeah, he needs her to cook for him.
Yep.
But whatever. She leaves, and then he's all sad about his spaceship being gone, so he does what Americans do, or Earthlings do, that is, and he drinks a lot of alcohol and takes some drugs, and he blacks out, and he has a hallucination of himself talking to, I guess, real Harry's corpse, who's, you know, mad at him, killing him and stealing his life, which is hilarious. Alan Tudyk
playing against himself.
Yeah. At the very beginning of the episode, we see, you know, 6 billion years ago, and basically, a meteor crashes into the Earth, and some beings come out of the meteor, some cells, and it morphs into, an ancient octopus-type thing. And then that octopus kind of merges to a 2 weeks ago octopus, and now it's in a giant fish tank inside a restaurant.
Yep.
And that was kind of the cold open. It's all right, let's see where this is going. Well, we fast forward later on to Darcy, Asta, and Harry, where they take him out to a Chinese restaurant, and he gets up to go to the bathroom, Oh, and they smoke pot with him, and then he gets them to go to the bathroom. Because
they were like, oh, you can't drown your sorrows with alcohol and drugs. That doesn't work. We need weed.
Yeah. Not those type of drugs. This type of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And so Harry goes over, and he starts having a conversation, a telepathic conversation with the octopus, because apparently they're cousins. And this is when I texted you, have you seen Resident Alien? And you said, watching it later today.
Yep.
Because voice of the octopus.
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
Loved it.
So I popped big for that one.
As did I. As soon as I heard his voice start going, I was like, oh, this is why Mike wanted to know if I'd watched it yet.
Yep. I thought that was awesome. They're still managed to somehow be involved in projects together, even if it's on this level.
Yep. It's great. Kind of like how Alan was the that doctor, you know, like a forensic cleaner on The Rookie, that one episode.
Yes. And that was a great episode, by the way.
Uh-huh. Yep. It's great that they still come back together. Love it.
What else happened in this episode?
I hear a small person complaining about things.
Yes, Wesley's upset because I reversed his reversible comforter, and it's not on the side that he likes anymore, and he demanded to know why I did such a atrocious act to him and his bedding.
Also, in this episode, he'd like
make it a little different.
The whole title of this episode was The Green Glow, and it was the fact that the kid can see the green glow, even though Harry can't see the green glow. So he's going to use the kid to help him figure out where his device is. I liked when the kid came in, he was like, my parents are still sending me to that thing. And he goes, we had a truce. And Harry's like, I'm not good at truces.
I lied. But
that was it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he does tell his parents, though, to get the kid to help him, because the kid's like, you know, why do you have alien shit in the back of your truck or stuff in the back? He goes, how do you know that's alien stuff? Because of the green glow. You can see the green glow. And he describes it as the reason why he can see hair through Harry's human disguise and see the actual alien version of Harry is because that's why he can see the green glow.
And I love the fact that this was all taking place in the kid's bed and Harry's eating chips. And he's like, what are you doing in here? And he's like, I wanted chips and I did. This was easier than breaking into the grocery store.
Yeah. But he admits to his parents that he misdiagnosed their son. Mm-hmm. And so now Mac. They get into like the bell tower or clock tower, whatever it is. And he uses a telescope to look at the mountain and he can see the green glow, which is on the glacier. Hold on before we go there, cause that's going to bring us to the end. Astra tells the, you know, Big Black and Liv, his deputy, that, you know, Jimmy stole the prescription pad. So when they bring Jimmy in, he admits to it. Liv's the one that gets them to she is the one that actually gets him to admit to it and then who he sold the pad to. And then when they go to the high school to arrest the guy and the sheriff chases him down, Liv takes a shortcut and, you know, trips him up and puts him in handcuffs. And the sheriff basically steals all the credit, doesn't give her credit for anything she does, tells her that she's not supposed to read the Miranda lights, that his job. Basically, he acts like a pompous, arrogant asshole to her, like he had all season.
Not just that she's not supposed to read the Miranda rights, but he tells her, you know, she used a contraction, and you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Because she was like, you have the right to remain silent. He's like, no, you have the right to remain silent.
Yeah. And basically just says that she's kind of disrespectful. And so she quits.
Yep.
Which is probably the best for Harry because there's no way the sheriff's going to figure anything out without her.
Right.
So Harry goes up on the glacier to get his piece of his, the basically the bomb. We'll just call it the bomb.
Yeah.
And Darcy and Astra ask to see Harry leave and that the kid's chasing after him, yelling, you know, Max is yelling out, you can't go up there, it's dangerous. And so they basically like, what? He's like, oh, Harry's going up on the glacier to get something. And then he runs away.
Kid runs off. Talk to my lawyer.
Yeah, talk to my lawyer. And so they go up on the glacier, you know, in snowmobiles to get him, and they all fall into a crevasse. And that's how the episode ends. Dun, dun, dun.
Now, there was one other minor thing in here that I really liked, which was the mayor, you know, the kid's parents, the mayor and his wife there.
Yeah.
She is trying to have a conversation with him, and he's basically, like, kowtowing to her. Yes, dear, yes, dear. And she's like, no, I want you to, like, stand up for yourself. Or I want you
a partner that stands up to me.
Yeah. So he stands up to her, and she's like, that's great. I feel so much better. And he, like, puts his arm around her, and then he pushes his luck. He's like, yeah, because you're pretty overbearing, and, you know, you're pretty strong. And,
yeah, you're really bossy.
Yep. I mean, not all the time, but sometimes you're just really over the top bossy. And she's like, all right. And she gets up and walks away. And he's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, he's one step too far.
Which many people have done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's common.
But I'm excited to see what happens next. We've only got a couple episodes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
This season. What else? What else? What else? What else?
I watched one new show this week.
What's the new show?
On Netflix. I had sent you a trailer a while back. It started this week. The One, which is the other show about. Yeah.
How was it?
It was okay. It was interesting. They're building to something. Like, basically, this woman owns the company that has perfected this, and they can look at your DNA and tell you who your soulmate is. And we get these flashbacks of her in the early days of starting this with this other guy that she must have been in love with. But sounds like she may have murdered him. And now, in the present day, people have found the body. So there's that going on.
That's awesome, right?
Yep. So, yeah, I'll keep watching it. It's interesting. You basically get these people. It's very similar to that Soulmates one, except for this is not going to be an anthology. This is going to be like a straight up the story is going on. So, you know, you've got the woman who is with a guy, but then she gets matched up with a woman, and she's very nervous about it, but excited. And then, like, one of her last scenes is that the woman got in a car accident on her way to meet her for the first time. And so she's in the hospital on a tube. And yeah, it's interesting.
Cool. Cool, cool. I kind of watched a new show myself.
Oh?
I watched, but it's not, it's new to me, not new in general. I watched Banshee. I watched the first two episodes on.
I've heard of that one.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank now. HBO Max. I've heard a lot of good about it, and basically this guy rolls into the town, and through circumstances I'm not going to explain, you got to watch yourself, he kind of becomes the new sheriff, and stuff happens.
Do you enjoy it?
So, yeah, I did like it. It's supposed to be, I don't know if it's critically acclaimed, but it's got a lot of positive feedback.
Nice.
A lot of positive people enjoying it a lot and everything. So, I mean, so far I'm enjoying it. So far, so good type of thing. I like I said, I watched the first two episodes, one the week before, one last week. So it's not like I'm diving into it hardcore. But yeah, it's decent so far.
Nice.
Yeah.
Paradise PD got stealth released, the third season showed up on Netflix. So I needed something mindless Saturday morning, and I threw on the first episode of that. It's by the second episode, they were actively commenting on the fact that they are over the top and ridiculous. And they're like, this show has really gone downhill. So at least they are aware of it. But I did make note that in that first episode, like at the end of season two, there was a nuclear explosion because, you know, things got out of hand. And so now we're dealing with the fallout of it. And one of the things is those two redneck characters discover that a new island has appeared in the middle of the town.
Sure,
so they row out to it. And since nobody else is there, they claim it as their own and they call it Twatamala. Yeah. And then one of them's like, and I declare myself the king of Guatemala. And the other one's like, why do you get to be king? And he goes, well, it's either me or that bowl haircutted kid over there in the wheelchair. And you pan over and it's Bran from Game of Thrones. The second guy goes, oh, that's a good point. I think that would really just piss off the audience if we did that. Yeah. So
nice.
Yep. Did you watch any other shows?
Jeez, I'm crow. You know, I don't think I did.
Neither did I. Like you said, okay. It was a light week for shows.
Yeah, I don't think I did. But I got some... Well, like the wife and I, we watched, you know, Cabin Masters and stuff like that together. But I did get, like I said, several movies in.
Yeah, start rattling them off. Let's hear them.
Okay, well, I watched a documentary on Netflix called Iron Fists and Kung Fu Flips. It's about the evolution of kung fu movies. They go into kind of, they take a deep dive into Bruce Lee. They talk about Jackie Chan, Jim Kelly, Rob Van Cleef, and others. It was really, really good. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
I bet you did. That sounds right up your alley.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Let's see. I watched I watched like three new movies as well. So I'll tell you about the one. Okay, so Wednesday night, my wife goes horseback riding, and Wesley said, hey, let's watch a movie together. And so I said, all right, so it's his choice. And he said, let's watch The Muppet. So I was like, oh, you want to watch The Muppet Show? He's like, no, I don't want to watch The Muppet Show. I want to watch the regular Muppets. So I put the Muppet movie on.
The original Muppet movie?
Yes, from 1979. He loved it. Yeah, so we watched that. And then it took me a few nights to watch this one. It's called Dirty O'Neill. I saw it on Amazon Prime. It was in 1974. It's about this local police officer named Jimmy O'Neill in this small California town that's really low on crime, but apparently high on libido because every girl in town wants to have sex with Jimmy. Every single one of them. And he probably bangs 15, 16 girls through this movie, but I'm assuming you did not watch
that with your son.
No, just myself. But it's implied, like, oh, hey, look at this. Oh, we should have the sex. And then cut to the next morning type of thing. Or cut to later that evening when there's a girl asleep in his bed. And there's a knock on his door. And it's the neighbor hooks up with once in a while. And she's like, I need your help in my apartment. And he's like, okay. And he goes off with her. And it's implied that they're going to have the sex. So it was I don't know. It wasn't great by any means, but it was enough that like it kept my attention to like want to put it back on and see what happens next type of thing. Okay. Definitely not a hard sell by any means, but it's like, all right, it's kind of – this was in theaters in the 70s? All right. I watched Game of Death. So it's the only Bruce Lee flick I hadn't watched yet. I'd watched all the others last month. What?
Well, Game of Death, G-O-D.
Oh, yeah. There you go. I'd watched all the others last month, but Game of Death wasn't streaming for free on any of my services. Paul, who says hi, by the way, owns it on Criterion Collection DVD. So he loaned it to me, and so I ended up watching that. Did you know the premise of Game of Death? What happened?
No.
Okay. So basically, Bruce Lee filmed like 20 minutes of this movie, let's just say. Or, you know, mostly it was this big end fight scene he has with all these different guys. Like, he's going up different levels, like a game of death. And one of them includes a fight scene with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right? Because Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, you're familiar with him. He played basketball, obviously, and he was in the movie Airplane. Well, he actually took martial arts lessons from Bruce Lee in real life. And he agreed to do this movie because Bruce Lee asked him to do it. Well, he was filming this. He filmed like 40 minutes of film for this movie. And only, I think, 20 made it into the actual movie itself. And then he went and filmed Enter the Dragon because that came along and it was for a lot of money. And he's like, all right, I'm going to go film Enter the Dragon and I'll come back and finish this. Well, then he died. So he never finished this movie. So the people that own the rights to the movie decided, okay, what can we do? All right, so we're going to put in a bunch of stunt doubles and body doubles and make this movie with Bruce Lee. And the premise to the movie is that they took this fight scene with Chuck Norris in Way of the Dragon. and they edited it so that it looked like a film company was filming the movie, the fight scene. And then when the fight scene was over, a lighting rig fell and almost landed on Bruce Lee, except they called him Billy Lowe. So it was, they're basically trying to say that he was an actor in this movie and someone was trying to kill him. And there's this really, 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 really bad scene where they, like, it's almost like the actor was holding up, or he had taped a paper mask of Bruce Lee on his face to film this scene. It was so horrifically cheesy. Bruce Lee's character is later killed in the movie, but it's believed that he's killed, but he's not. They use guys wearing a motorcycle helmet, sunglasses, a fake beard. They have all the couple different actors pretending to be Bruce Lee. And one of them has plastic surgery to change his appearance so people won't recognize it's him. But then at the end, he reveals that it's him. It's Billy Lowe, and I'm going to get you now for trying to kill me. And then we see the actual footage that Bruce Lee filmed to close out the movie. You know, his amazing fight scenes that he choreographed and filmed and everything. So the story of the movie is actually really good. And there's parts of it that's actually... Huh?
Better than the movie itself?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, the story's actually really good. There's parts of the movie that's actually really good. And of course, Bruce Lee's fight scenes are amazing. But it's the way they did it that was so bad. You know, the cheesiness of which how they, you know, covered up that they didn't have Bruce Lee to film the movie was really bad. But yeah, so I've watched them all now.
Do you feel more fulfilled now that you've watched them all?
Well, I checked the box.
Okay. Yeah. That's important too.
Yeah. So after watching Coming to America last week, I saw that 48 Hours was on Amazon, and another 48 Hours was on Amazon Prime for me to be able to watch. And I actually have been wanting to watch those for quite a while. So I watched 48 Hours, and I enjoyed it. I think it's a great film, but it was way more serious and action oriented than I remember it being. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not as funny as I recall it being. But like I said, I still enjoyed it. But like, this was his first big movie after coming off of Saturday Night Live. And so my mind, like, this has got to be like hilarious. Right. And then when I watched another 48 Hours, it was this, like, I remembered 48 Hours, but this was the one I remembered more. This has way more humor in it. Definitely not as serious. You know, all the lines from the movies I remember that I associate with 48 Hours was from this one.
Yep.
So, but yeah, those are great flicks. If you have Amazon Prime, go watch them. If you've never seen them, they're definitely worth your time. Nick Nolte, you know, Eddie Murphy, they're good. They're just good movies. Then I watched three new movies. So what's the movie you watched?
The movie that I watched, well, like I said, I watched one that's not even a movie, but I watched, South Park did another one of their specials because they're not doing full weekly episodes, but this was the South Park vaccination special. So it was over an hour long and it was good. It's typical South Park fashion. So, you know, Walgreens is a nightclub and there's a bouncer and the only people that can get in are the people 70 and older who can get their vaccines. And you know, the younger people, you know, the middle-aged people are all pissed because they want the vaccines so that they can go out and have their lives back again. But now the old people are like ruling the city and driving around. We can do whatever we want because we get the vaccines. And it's over the top ridiculousness. QAnon comes up in it. They become tutors to teach the children of the town the, you know, what's going on with all the child molesting celebrities that had Epstein killed because he was going to, you know, blow the whistle on them. And yeah. But it was South Park. Enjoyable for what it was.
No. So that was the movie, I guess you were saying.
Well, that was one of the movies. The other movie that I watched was on Hulu, Kid 90.
Oh, I can't wait to check that out this week.
I will say this, I will not give anything away. It is
there are a lot of celebs in there that she interacted with. And she gets them all to come and talk about it. You know, she'd be like, hey, bring this one over, bring this one over. And, but she, it is purely her life, you know, talk about some of the other people, but it's purely her life. And, it brought up a lot of like looking back at it and seeing like the styles and the fashions of the 90s and the skater culture and all that stuff. It like was a trip down memory lane and not always a good one. Like it, it was not all the best parts of the 90s. So, it's darker and it was interesting. It was definitely not as like damning as I expected it to be.
Sure.
And I didn't come out of it like, oh my God, oh, this girl's been through so much. Like as far as journeys go, it was not that harrowing. You know, she had her stints and she had her stuff, but it was definitely not like you always hear about Drew Barrymore, you know, and a lot of the other childhoods. In fact, David Arquette, who was one of the guys on here, like I think he had a rougher go of things than she did. Like at one point he's just like listing off his progression in drugs and like he's ending on heroin and he just kind of like shakes his head and like pauses for a minute and he's like, fuck.
Yeah, well, if you watch the You Can't Kill David Arquette wrestling documentary, then you kind of get the same thing.
Yeah.
The harshness of his life type of thing.
Gotcha. But yeah, that's it for my movies.
Well, the family movie we kind of watched together on Saturday night was called Yes Day on Netflix.
How was that?
Good. We all enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's Jennifer Gardner and other people. And my daughter recognized one of the girls in it from something that she watches. But basically, the parents agree to say yes to everything their kids want to do for a 24-hour period.
Okay.
And parody ensues. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was very good.
Nice. Did your kids then say, Dad, we want to do a yes day?
No, they didn't. No, which was probably for the best.
Would you have said no way?
I would not agree to that. No, good. Not at all. I would not agree to that. I am not a cool parent in that respect. But yeah, no, I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it.
Nice.
I watched the Block Island Sound on Netflix.
Okay.
Have you seen the trailer for it or anything?
No.
I can't remember if we shared the trailer with each other or not. Okay.
No, it doesn't sound familiar.
So, all right. It is, again, it's on Netflix. It's pretty dark. There's some supernatural elements in it. I really think it's well worth watching. I don't really want to give it away, so let me try and find the official synopsis with it.
Okay.
It was just like, it's like Netflix had a lot of movies coming out type of thing. So yes. They call it, according to this, it's a science fiction horror thriller.
Okay. Throw a bunch of stuff and see what sticks.
Yeah. Let's see, it's 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. Hold on. Let's see what IMDb has for it. Here we go. Something lurks off the coast of Block Island, silently influencing the behavior of fisherman Tom Lynch. After suffering a series of violent outbursts, he unknowingly puts his family in grave danger. I liked it. I liked it quite a bit, actually.
Nice. I assumed then, where you were like, I don't want to give it away. So that's that always tells me that you're ready to do like a sell on it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not giving it a hard sell, but I am giving it a sell.
Okay.
And then the last movie I watched was my daughter with Addison. She's going to be 12 here pretty soon. We watched Moxie.
Oh, I've seen that show up on my Instagram feed a lot.
Yeah, the Netflix original movie about a high school junior who is tired of the girls in her school she's tired of how the girls in the school are treated by the guys, and she starts kind of a feminist group with a secret zine, you know, a magazine.
Yep.
What they call them, zines.
Digital zine.
Well, no, this is printed.
Oh, okay.
I spent a lot of time with watching this, like I said, with my daughter, telling her that what the boys are doing is unacceptable, and that if anything like that happens to her or someone she knows, to tell somebody at the school, and if the school's not taking her seriously, then you tell me. You tell me regardless, actually. Okay. You know, I enjoyed the movie. It's not one I would go back and watch over and over again by any means. I had a great message. Really, it feels like a movie that, like, my daughter should have watched with her mother or some other woman figure in her life. Not so much your dad, to be honest. Yeah, you know, like, I don't know. The guys are just pigs, basically. They do that thing that you've seen in TV and movies and stuff, which I don't think I've ever seen in real life, where, like, at the beginning of the school year, the guys release a list of girls that are the most bangable or have the best rack or the nicest pass or this or that or this or that. And,
yeah,
you know, apparently it's that bothers the girls, but the staff at the school apparently just go, boys will be boys type of thing. So, yeah. It was a fun flick.
Yeah.
That's all my movies.
Okay. That was it for me for movies.
Yep.
Only had two trailers this weekend that I'm aware of.
Yeah, there really wasn't a lot.
Nope. I sent you one for Them.
Yeah.
A new anthology series, which, as you pointed out, this time it's anthology as in American Horror Story rather than as in Twilight Zone.
Yeah, and it does look decent.
Yeah, looks like a nice, decent horror, thriller, scary thing.
Yep.
But the one that really got me, that I'm really excited about, is Made for Love, coming on HBO Max. And this is Kristen Milioti from How I Met Your Mother fame. And the official synopsis says, a young woman on the run after 10 years in a suffocating marriage to a tech billionaire suddenly realizes that her husband has implanted a revolutionary monitoring device in her brain that allows him to track her every move. I got a lot of vibes of Man-Seeking Woman on this. Mm-hmm. Like, everything was just a little over-the-top absurd, a little bit extra, and it looks like a riot. I'm so excited to watch this. Comes out Thursday, April 1st.
Yeah, that looks pretty awesome.
10 episodes, and I'm not sure. Yeah, it looks like they're going to do them weekly from the looks of it. So, yeah, the first episode is April 1st, and then episode 2 comes out at some point, probably a week later, I would guess. But, yeah. I guess it's so weird. Like, we're so used to having things to talk about, like, we're saving to the end, but
yeah, there's nothing to save to the end this week.
Just the news stuff.
You sent me that thing. I sent you the thing about Law and Order Organized Crime, April 1st on NBC.
Yeah.
So that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Right about that. You sent me a pretty cool article about why there's no Channel 37.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
On the UHF, right? I thought that was pretty neat. I'm always into stuff like that.
Yeah, I knew you would be.
You sent me the article about how Supernatural's original ending was going to be before COVID, and it makes me kind of agree that they revealed that, because it you know, makes what we got even shittier.
And the thing is, like, it would have been the same thing, Dean. Still, spoilers, everybody.
None of that would have changed. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that the final scenes, instead of just like the two of them meeting up and walking away, and then we get the pan away from the bridge, was there would actually be a new roadhouse, and all of the characters that they could convince to fly to Vancouver would have been there. You know, Joe and Ellen and everybody that had been on the show.
And
Kansas was going to be playing the song.
The band Kansas was going to be playing Wayward Son.
Yep. Which would have been fucking phenomenal. Like, that would have made it all worthwhile.
Yes. Yes, it would have. Fucking COVID.
Yep.
You also shared with me the most amazing short film mashup I think I've seen, Darth by Darth West.
Dar-
Darth by Darth West.
Dude, that was so friggin' amazing. I absolutely loved this mashup of Alfred Hitchcock's North by Northwest and Star Wars. That was just tremendous.
Whoever did it, that was a passion project. Oh, and they did so well.
Yes, it was. Oh, I sent you that glorious news about Zack Snyder cut of Justice League, which comes out this week. Yay! We finally get to watch it, John.
So, the thing that you sent me was very interesting, and it's why the Snyder cut isn't widescreen. And the long and the short of it is because Zack Snyder was like, oh, I filmed some stuff for IMAX that was in, like, Letterboxd, and I'm in love with Letterboxd, so I want it to be in Letterboxd.
Well, not Letterboxd, but full screen.
Yeah, sorry. Full screen.
Yeah, full screen. He wants it to be in 131 scale.
133.
Yeah, 4:3 scale or 133 1 scale, which is essentially how your old TV was when you watched a movie. And
or
if you watch
for some of you show listening, on your grandparents' old TV.
Yeah, or when you watch a movie today on our TV show today that's got the black bars on the left and right instead of the top and bottom. Mm-hmm. And so this is the aspect ratio he wants us to watch it in, because that's kind of, I didn't realize this, but apparently that's the aspect ratio of the IMAX screen.
Yeah.
And when stuff is filmed for IMAX, that's what it's filmed in.
Yep.
So his new footage was filmed that way. And then the previous footage that he had filmed that he's using for this movie, he's cut it to look that way, so he's cut off, you know, parts of the image. So and then of course down the line, apparently he has a black and white cut of the film that they're gonna be releasing at some point down the line as well.
I'm not watching it.
Neither am I.
You're making me watch this one. I'm not watching that.
So I'm actually debating watching Justice League this week and then watching the Snyder cut so I can see the difference.
Okay.
Firsthand type of thing. So
I will tell you that a lot of the reviews are out now for it, because the critics got review copies early, and everything that I've seen, it's one end of the spectrum or the other. Either the reviewer is praising it, saying, oh, he really did so much to flesh this out and he did so good, and oh, this is such a much better telling, or it's somebody giving it the worst dog shit rating and saying, this is boring, it's meandering, it overstays its welcome, there is no reason for this. So there's nothing that's in the middle. There's no, like, middle ground where people are like, and of course, like, I just, for instance, I looked at IGN and they gave it an 8. They were like, this is superb, this is wonderful, it's an 8 out of 10. And then all the comments were all the people who were like, you mean 10 out of 10. This should be a 10. Why didn't you make it a 10? If you say that it's good, it should be a 10. If you say it's an 8, then it means it's 10. So the fanboys are out there with their fucking dicks in their hands, waving them around. Personally, I'm dreading this. I know that this is going to be dog shit. This is going to be 4 hours of dog shit. And I'm going into it with a negative attitude. I will admit that. And it's going to cloud my judgment. And I'm okay with that, because fuck Zack Snyder at this point.
I hear you. But I do feel like it's something that we should be watching.
Yep.
So
I'm going to feel unclean afterwards.
Well, you can just take a shower, I guess.
No water is hot enough. So couple of fun news things before we drown in Zack Snyder. Michelle Gomez, Missy from Doctor Who.
Yes.
She's going to be joining season 3 of Doom Patrol as the villain Madame Rouge. It says, Gomez's Rouge is being described as a complicated and electrifying eccentric who arrives at Doom Manor with a very specific mission. If only she could remember it.
Oh, no. She can't remember.
Which sounds right up the alley of the Doom Patrol.
Yep, it does.
A villain shows up who has a mission and then can't remember it. This I am super stoked for. A 2-part documentary about Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee-wee Herman, is headed to HBO with producers Josh and Benny Safdie. The doc is described as a kaleidoscopic portrait of Rubens, who started his career as an improv comedian and stage actor before striking it big with a sold-out show called The Pee-wee Herman Show. Rubens translated the stage show first into two feature films, and then a CBS Saturday Morning Children's show. The TV show ended in 1990, and a year later, Rubens was caught up in a scandal when he was arrested for indecent exposure in an adult movie theater.
Can't jerk off to porn in public. Come on, Pee-wee.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be a two-part. The official log line, a kaleidoscopic portrait told in two parts. The Paul Rubens documentary traces the life of the imaginative artist behind one of pop culture's most celebrated and unlikely icons, Pee-wee Herman. So,
well, I can get behind that.
I'm wondering if, like, the first part will be up to the ending of the Pee-wee Herman show and or Pee-wee's Playhouse. Yeah. And then the second part will be the decline.
His redemption in life.
Yeah.
No, I can get behind that and watch that.
And then the only other one, I added this to the news list because of you and your love of wrestling. You may have already heard about this, but apparently they're making a 2-hour made-for-TV movie that is a remake of Walking Tall.
Okay.
Do you know who's going to play the lead character? Now, I said it's your love of wrestling, so you got to think that.
Well, in the first remake of Walking Tall, it was The Rock.
Yep.
So they're doing a sequel then?
Nope. They're doing a remake.
So he's remaking a movie and starring in a movie he already did a remake of?
Well, no, this is not The Rock. This is going to be somebody different.
Oh, I thought you were saying, yup, like it's The Rock. Oh, all right, no. Who's it going to be?
Any guess? Any wild guess? Like, John, and I mean wild guess. No.
CM Punk.
Charlotte Flair.
Would never pick that one up because they're switching genders.
That's why I said wild guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Charlotte Flair will be the lead character in this made-for-TV remake.
Hmm. All right. Oh.
Well, yep. So that's a thing that's happening.
There it is.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see what happens. What channel is that going to be on?
I would.
Do they still
they didn't
have
say, but I would guess
TV
USA. I think it is. It's USA Network.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't even know if they made for TV movies anymore.
Yeah, I can't think of the last one.
All right. There we go.
Well, that's all I got.
That's all I have as well.
Oh, outstanding.
Super short this week. I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I am the Quantum Geek, G33K.
And that is our Shazoo. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later.